evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting of the Heartland Public Library District, September the 15th, to order. Roll call, please.
Maloney?
Here.
Schmidt?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Carol here. Mary?
Here.
Dave?
Here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any town hall?
No town hall.
Correspondents?
None at this time.
Reports, questions, or comments? Myself or any of the other trustees? I would like to make one comment. Over the weekend, I believe we all received an anonymous letter. Based on the signature, it was from every person that belonged to the Village of Heartland Library. But we cannot respond to that person because of the fact that there was no real signature. But I wanted on record that the letter was received and everyone has taken a look at it for the most part. Any comments from the director of the staff?
No, I don't have any tonight.
I don't either.
Anybody?
You're not having any trouble hearing me, are you? We're going to start with the action items today instead of our consent agenda. The first one being an ordinance 2025-7, establishing the rules of conduct for the use of the library and prescribing sanctions for violations.
I'll bring the motion to approve the ordinance 2025-7, establishing the rules of conduct for the use of the library and prescribing sanctions for violations of rules.
Second that.
Discussion?
I had a question for possibly Roger, if we can't answer it as a board. Second page, section 8, it says this ordinance confirms and ratifies policies and procedures used in the past with respect to library bans. Further, the board ratifies ban decisions made prior to the passage of this ordinance. So I want to understand why that's in there.
Well, I think you've had as I understand it anyway, there's been a, there's been an unwritten policy or procedure about how to handle the bans. And so I guess it's kind of brings us up to date and ratifies actions that have been taken in the past. It's as simple as that.
Trustee Olson.
Yes, I have a question in regards to section 4. And I wasn't able to find the present policy that we have, but this seems to expand the ability for virtually anybody to take this action. And it seems to me that ultimately an action of this nature needs to be endorsed by the person that we employ as the head of our organization and not a staff member.
Yeah, I guess my question too is just, I'm rereading that. It says management level employee. I think, you know, as trustees, we've taken an oath. We know our responsibilities. If there's a concern, we have an ethics advisor that can meet with us because that's in our policy online, that's the way things should be handled when a situation arises with the trustee, that the ethics advisor reaches out. But my furthermore, management level employee, I think trustees need to help trustees accountable, but I think if there's a situation, the director should be considered the management, not all the management employees.
But if I'm not here,
then we could state maybe.
But this isn't just about trustees. This is about any patron.
Patrons.
Ever.
This is for all patrons, anybody who uses the library.
To that point that you said, I mean, we trust other management level employees to be able to close the building. You're not expected to be here during every waking hour or anything like that. So if they're capable of closing the building and making a decision based on an eyewitness account of an incident, they should have the authority because you may not have a...
They call me immediately.
Mm-hmm. And this is in line with like what other library practices are. Today, I unfortunately had to ban a customer, and I didn't have to check in with anybody. I just, because of our policy, and they felt like stepping outside of our policy, I'm able to say, because of your behavior, I'm going to ask you to step out for the rest of the day.
Safety of staff and patrons has to come into play, and sometimes an autonomous decision is necessary.
Okay.
And just to go off of what Monica's saying, right, this does say from 1 to 90 days, and so if it was a management level position, that person probably wouldn't be issuing a 90-day ban. They'd probably issue a one-day, come back tomorrow kind of ban, or it's a spectrum.
I cannot hear you. I'm sorry.
It's hard to hear you.
It's hard with the microphone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought it was better.
I can hear what you said.
I was just saying that, going off of what Monica's saying, this is a range. It's not saying that somebody in a management level position is issuing a 90-day ban right off the bat. It's from 1 to 90 days. And so somebody who's at a certain level could just, you know, like Monica said, have somebody leave for a day, not go as far, and then from there discuss a different thing with the director.
And I tend to be very generous but cautious when it comes to this because we don't like to take anybody's privileges away from the library. But my rule of thumb has always been if it makes you uncomfortable, scared, unsure, to call 911. We have a great relationship with them, and I tell the staff all the time, if you get that little weird feeling in the back of your neck, call 911.
Absolutely. No one should ever have fear in the workplace. So, is there any more discussion?
I think there should be some sort of defined levels that lead to 90 days. I mean, 1 to 90 days is pretty arbitrary in terms of defining whether it's 1 day, a week, a month, 60 days, 90 days.
Could I speak to that?
Certainly.
There's so many different things that can happen. As to try to identify all the different things that might happen, you'd miss something. And if we missed something, if we didn't put it in there, then it wouldn't be covered. So on this level, I'd rather have it. I trust the employees to decide, okay, this is this is a 1 day, this is a 5 days. I trust them to make that decision.
It could also arbitrarily be giving you a 90-day suspension. But should we consider that after 30 or 60 days, if you're comfortable enough to know that the behavior that has been exhibited has tempered down, then perhaps we could revisit that, because you always know who's being banned. But if we just say 1 day and then they come back and then it's repetition of the behavior, it's truly then not acceptable. So I think to say that we could arbitrarily, perhaps after a set time, take another look at it. But you know, what they say, 3 strikes. My opinion.
For example, we had a woman using our study rooms to be a tutor, and we caught her and her hairdresser dyeing her hair in the study room. So while that did break policy, I didn't feel that was necessary to ban somebody. We had another gentleman that came in and would walk around the building, and we were monitoring him and watching him, and it got to the point where we were getting scared and nervous about his behavior, and we did end up banning him. So there's all different levels, and it's about safety.
Well, you as the director of trust when you feel in staff, because you're the heart of the library. If you all feel threatened, certainly you should never hold back on what your decisions are, you know, as long as you have your evidence and I have to move, so. So, take a roll call.
Okay, Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Abstain.
Carl, yes. Barry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Moving on to the revised bylaws of the Board of Library Trustees. Public Department of Public Library Trustees.
I'll bring a motion to approve the revised bylaws of the Board of Library Trustees.
I'd like to move to table this. We have not been provided with a marked up copy that shows us what the changes are.
Second to the original motion.
Second to the original motion.
Any additional?
Yes, I had a comment. On section 7, it talks about attendance at meetings by electronic means. And there's something in there that states the absent trustee should state publicly via electronic means the reason for not being present at the time of roll call. I know there's HIPAA guidelines and things, and some people aren't here for personal or medical reasons. So they're just to say medical reason, or
correct.
And that
correct.
Suffices
it's
there.
per OMA. You have there's only certain reasons why you're allowed to attend a meeting from virtual or telephone, and so you have to make sure.
I just wanted to make sure
with OMA.
That we were clear on what they were, because this is just stating to state the reason.
I would refer to the Open Meetings Act then to know the reasons why you can attend virtually.
First, like a vacation is not an excuse to be.
Hey, what?
A vacation.
Unless it has to pertain to
work.
And
work. Unless, yeah. Library related work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Abstain.
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Dave? Yes. Next, we have consideration of appointment of a new treasurer or an interim treasurer. No trustee can hold two offices. So I am proposing for an interim period until we get beyond the unfortunate situation we're in, that Monica Boyer consider being our secretary for the 3-month period of time, unless that were to be shortened. And then, if you would be willing to accept that position,
yes, I accept.
That Peggy Vaccaro, instead of secretary, she defers and becomes the vice president again during that, whatever the period of time would be. Would you accept that?
I accept.
And trustee Barry, if you would accept being the treasurer during this period of time.
I would.
Thank you. Jay, would you consider being our ethics advisor so as to fill the position that Monica has?
I accept.
That being said, yes. I move to approve all of these selected new positions for this interim period.
Second that.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Second.
Yes, Drew.
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Abstain.
Vaccaro, yes. Barry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Now we have a resolution to determine the funds for fiscal year 2025-2026.
I'll bring a motion to approve the resolution for the fiscal year 2025-2026.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, Ron. Have any discussion?
Yes. On this, I pass.
Passing. Roll call, please.
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
No.
Harrow, yes. Barry?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes. Board meeting dates for 2026. Director Wessel, do you want to address that?
Yes. Board meeting dates are the third Mondays. No changes have been made. They would start at 7 if we had committee of the whole meetings at 6 prior to the regular meeting.
Any discussion?
I'll make a motion. Someone make a motion. Okay, then I'll bring a motion.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, do we have any other discussion? Please.
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Harrow, yes. Barry?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes. And the 2026 library closings, we have a change in?
Yes. So the Independence Day parade is actually on the day of July 4th. So there's no need to close on that Sunday or what an extra day because it will already be closed for the holiday. But then we did some number crunching and we looked at our slowest day given over a year's period of time, and it is always the Friday after Thanksgiving. We had, I believe, 13 employees ask for that day off, and
13 employees actually took the day off.
Actually took the day off.
Requests put in for that. That's one of the most popular days for our staff to request.
And then
off.
The slowest
traffic
day days for the patrons.
So you want to switch?
We would like to be closed on the day after Thanksgiving and remain open on the Sunday after the parade and the 4th of July.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
How would that work in the years to come?
We would produce this every year to you, and then you would go through the dates, and if we had to close on July 4th, then we'd look at it again.
So I have a question. On Wednesday the 25th for 2026, you're closing at 5 p.m. the day before Thanksgiving.
That's been standard practice since I've been. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. And then, so what you're saying is for 2026, we'll be closed on Saturday, but open on the 6th, Sunday.
Yes.
On the 5th.
On the 5th, okay. Yes. And we'll see how that goes. I don't know how traffic will be. I don't know how the festival impacted. It'll be the first time that we're open on that day, but if the park district does it, we should try it.
Trustee Olson?
Yes. Aren't we essentially granting an additional holiday by giving the day off after Thanksgiving? And won't there then be an expectation of all the staff that they should be compensated?
Only the staff that are scheduled to work. It wouldn't be all staff.
And again, it would be replacing the Sunday after the 4th that the building would then be open.
Which all staff don't work either.
Sure.
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
No.
Carl, yes. Barry?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes. Now we have the approval of the audit presentation. The date is Monday, October the 20th at 6 p.m.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Carl, yes. Barry?
Yes.
Yes. And the military leave policy.
Katie, can you address that for me, please?
Yeah,
The only thing that's been added is the funeral honors detail. That was a law that was recently signed by the governor. So that's just being added.
I'll make a motion to accept that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'll second that one.
Discussion? Trustee Olson?
If I could, I'd like some clarification about what recognized organizations means.
Well, authorized provider, registered member, nonprofit, or other organization that's an authorized provider, there would be documentation that they're authorized that we could get from that organization that they're a part of.
And that's what the federal law says? Or
this
is it state?
Federal law, it's a state law. That was signed.
But that's what the state law states.
So we can work out.
He's just asked, he is looking for like the specific organizations that's included in that, but you would say that it's not, it's just that's how it's worded in the
correct
state.
This is,
so correct.
This edition is straight from HR source itself. This policy, that's how
it's, there's not an extensive list of every organization that's included in it, but people would have the proper documentation to back up their what organization that they're a member of.
Do we currently have, this may be the law, so we're complying with it, but do we currently have any serving military who would qualify?
Not that I'm aware of.
But it's, I'd rather have it added now than scramble at the last minute when we do run into a situation like that, to be proactive.
Open the motion to approve military leave policy.
Second.
There was already a motion. There was already a motion and second.
So roll call.
Tony?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Carl, yes. Barry?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes.
Hello, this is James.
Hey, James, this is Carolyn Wessel calling from the Bartlett Public Library District. We are on our discussion items. The first item is the draft of the tax levy ordinance 25-6, if you want to go over that with the board.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, nah. Great. So this year we're looking at a levy of about 4.9%, and I know we've had some discussions to make sure we maximize what we can capture under the tax cap. This will do it. We know that the CPI is 2.9%, and we ran our model through various new growth estimates and well above what we think we're going to capture, and this will make sure that we can capture everything under PTEL. So right now our levy request in total is $4,352,000. We've put that in the various buckets or funds as needed for the budget. And I think this will then go through the tax cap and produce about $4,282,581 per the extension. We'll get capped back to a reduction factor of about 0.982, and this should produce new money of about $134,000 for the library. That would be a percent change of about 3.23%. So we factored in a little bit of new growth here to get above the 2.9%. And again, we don't have to publish or have a hearing because we're under 5% per truth of taxation, and we'll be able to capture everything we can, the 2.9% plus new growth. That pretty much sums up the levy. Are there any additional questions from the board?
Trustee Olson.
James, I have a question about item D, the outside professional services. Is there a reason that this does not include the investment advisors?
I don't have an agenda, trustee. I don't know if I can speak to that.
He's saying under D, outside professional services, we don't have the investment planner.
I'm assuming it's either lumped into professionals. Oh, you're talking about on the levy ordinance.
Yeah.
I'm I'm assuming it may be part of that professional services number.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just not listed separately.
It's just not listed separately.
So, James, are you saying that it's included in the total somewhere?
I believe it's under professional services.
It's under professional services, legal, accounting, payroll, and strategic planning.
It's not detailed.
Yeah. It could fall under legal services. I don't know.
Legal is not. This is a $13,000 line item.
You have to remember the levy ordinance doesn't defray necessarily all costs line by line like the budget does. It's to give estimates of what the levies are going to pay for, and they don't always pay for all the expenditures. We either use reserves for that, or sometimes we're bringing down fund balance. That can also be a piece of this to avoid tax objections. So it doesn't have to mirror line by line what's in the budget.
I question that, but moving on. Did you do a roll forward as far as the levy line item amounts?
Did you do a roll forward for the levy amounts?
We looked at the budgeted amounts, if that's what he's asking for, in terms of preparing the levy ordinance. So next year's budget, we have a tentative form. We use some of those numbers to prepare the levy amounts. We also look at kind of the fund balance of where we are today to look to see what funds we may need to draw down to avoid future tax objection.
Is this document the basis for the percentages or the points that we're going to send to the two taxing bodies?
Did you hear that?
I didn't catch it all.
Is this document the basis?
Is this document the basis?
On which we will file.
On which we will file with the state and with the counties.
With the two counties.
That is the tentative or draft tax levy ordinance. So once it is approved by the board, if there aren't any changes to it, we would then, at your meeting that you're set to approve the levy, file that ordinance with the counties, correct?
Yep.
I had asked on the 10th for a breakdown of your calculations and never received that. So.
Trustee Olson, I can answer that. I didn't understand the email. It was allocation of mileage funds, and I forwarded it to James, and we didn't know what you were referring to.
That is not what I asked for, and I didn't get it, so let the record show that.
James, do you remember the email that I'm referring to?
I do. I remember posing that question back to you to say I'm not exactly sure what was being asked there, as the allocation of mileage doesn't pertain to the levy or the financial statements, and so I wasn't sure exactly what that meant.
Thank you. Are there any other questions on the tax levy? Okay. Thank you, James.
Oh, you're welcome, everybody.
Okay, I'll be in touch. Bye.
Sounds good. Bye.
So then the other two documents are the Certificate of Authenticity and then the Certificate of Compliance with the Truth in Taxation Law. These will be on the agenda for the October board meeting for approval. And if anything changes or anything comes up, I will let you know.
consent agenda, the items to be included. Is there anyone that needs to have something removed?
Yes. I'd like to remove item 1A, the minutes from the August 11th, 2025 Finance Committee meeting, and item 1B, minutes from the August 18th, 2025 Board meeting.
I believe the August 11th Finance Committee meeting minutes were tabled from last month.
Correct. I had asked that they be tabled.
Okay. So, you're removing them for what?
I'm sorry?
You're removing them from the consent agenda for what reason? Last month you asked them to be tabled, but you removed them from the consent agenda this evening, two
Correct.
Seconds ago, for
Correct.
What reason now?
Correct. You want to hear my
yes.
recommendation? Okay. At the last meeting, when this was moved to be tabled, we were in the process of discussing the minutes of the August 11, 2025 Finance Committee meeting. And at that time, I asked that under item one, insert after disbursements, Trustee Olson asked James Howard if the Blue Cross of Illinois amount of $189,696.21 was net of the employee contributions. James Howard replied that it wasn't, as this was the gross amount paid to Blue Cross of Illinois. I reviewed the tape again, and that's exactly what it said. Trustee Olson asked if the listing of payroll gross wages, the inclusion of Carolyn Wessel under the $100,000 to $124,999 range was correct. James Howard replies that it was correct. That is what I want to insert. We have a problem with consistency of even within these minutes of this August 11th meeting, where part is reply is detailed and the rest is not. And the second part of these minutes were very detailed. The important part was excluded. I'd like to get these minutes corrected. I'm making that motion. And if anybody wants, I do have the schedule of dollar amounts due total of $248,640 that we talked about in the last meeting.
Can I make a statement?
Away from me. Yeah.
I just would like to note that at the last board, this isn't about the Finance Committee meeting minutes, but it's about the consistency of the minutes. So at the last board meeting, Trustee Olson made a motion to amend the minutes for the previous months about the resolution of non-resident cards because you didn't want it to read Bartlett residents who don't pay taxes and rather change the wording to say individuals living outside the boundaries of any library district living in areas adjacent to the Bartlett Public Library District, which was not said. I just want to say that if we're going to be talking about what was said on public record, you made a motion to amend the public record, which I believe is a violation of OMA. And so I try to be as detailed as possible in the minutes while also not getting into every single question that gets asked by the trustees. And so
and I think that
I'm just going to say I don't know where the trustees want me to go.
Well, I think we have a perfect time right now to ask Roger for his clarification on what are we to be putting in the minutes, because we do the minutes, and I believe that the minutes is supposed to be the motion, vote, and what was discussed, and it shouldn't be a he said, she said, we said, they said. Is that correct?
Well, yes, generally, but the Open Meetings Act is very unhelpful in terms of the content of the minutes of the meeting. And it's basically a description of the motion, a general description of the discussion, and the votes on the motion. Yes, you don't want a verbatim recitation of Trustee Olson said blah, 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 and Trustee Berry said X, Y, Z. So that's a level of detail that's not required, but you're not going to find any help with language in the Open Meetings Act. It just gives you kind of a generic description, the date of the meeting, who was there, subject matter, the discussion, and the vote on the... Anyway, that's what the Open Meetings Act is.
I do know that there are exceptions because other libraries do discuss things, and sometimes they're detailed because it pertains to, strongly to the topic. So I know there's exceptions when they'll quote somebody or state something in more detail. Is that okay?
That's the level of beyond complying with the basics of the Open Meetings Act. The level of detail is a discretionary function for the board. You have to decide, okay, we want all of these deep, even though we're not required to, we want Trustee Olson said this and Trustee Berry said that, and you can say that's the level of detail that we want in our minutes. Or you could say, no, we're happy with just the bare minimum, and as long as it complies with the Open Meetings Act, we're happy campers. So that's a discretionary function of the board. What level of detail do you want in the minutes?
And this is not court reported.
No, that's the only point I'm trying to make, is that I'm getting consistent feedback from the one trustee who's making these changes about what level of detail and what we should be and should not be stating. And so if you tell me you want them to be verbatim, I will write the transcript, but...
A year ago we had made the comment that we just need to see, this is the topic, this was the vote, who made the motion, who seconded the motion, did it pass, did it not pass. This constant word for word for word, comma, period, exclamation point, it's got to stop.
So my question, Trustee Olson, your comment is referring to a financial committee meeting?
Correct.
Okay, so this is not an actual board, it's a committee meeting, which I'm just saying may have a valid point of including some detail, so that way the board, when they read the minutes, they see that little bit of detail. I'm just saying, because it's a committee meeting.
You have different standards for the level of detail in the minutes, depending upon the type of meeting it was. Yes, you could have different standards. For the Finance Committee, we want to have this level of detail. For the board meeting, we want that. For building new grounds, you could have multiple standards of detail for the minutes. That's a discretionary function of the board.
As it stands, though, there's no delineation between the two. From a legal standpoint, it does not have to be prescriptive, verbatim. It could be the same.
The committee meeting and the board meeting is going to fall under the definition of public meetings under the Open Meetings Act. There's no differentiation there. So the general rule that I just described in terms of the level of detail for the minutes for the Open Meetings Act is really not very helpful. And if you want to go above and beyond with the Open Meetings Act, that's just a discretionary function of the board.
All right. So Trustee Olson made a motion to change the minutes. Is there a second?
I'm going to second it because it's on the table. This is a second because I think it's a valid point for the committee, for the financial committee.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion?
Okay.
I have not listened to the tape, so I must abstain.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
I abstain as well for the same reason.
Olson?
Yes.
Carl, I'll abstain. Gary?
I don't know.
Danny?
Well, I was part of the Finance Committee, but I know. I don't
know. I think you
said A and B,
that was just A.
change Trustee Olson on
he did not pass.
B. And again, I went back and listened to the minutes of the recording of our meeting of the 18th. And I want to add to the board minutes on page 2, bottom of the page, insert the following paragraph. Director Wessel stated that she and Mallory Babb had listened to the tape of the meeting twice and that it wasn't what was said. This gets back to the 11th meeting. And it was said emphatically by the director. And I am sorry, but we have a problem with editing of what happened at our meetings to suit specific people, and that is not appropriate. I'm moving to insert that paragraph.
Is there a second? Hearing none. Are there any other changes to the consent agenda?
Question on 1G. With the bill approval, does that get changed?
Yes, thank you. That would be Barry and Boyer then.
I'll make that motion to make that change.
Second that.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Excuse me, I just want to clarify that motion includes item 1B.
No, we're just on 1G. 1G is about the change. Approval of the checks. Okay. Malloy? Yes. Schmidt? Yes. Boyer? Yes. Olson? Yes. Lucaro? Yes. Berry? Yes. Dane? Yes. All right, now approval of the consent agenda 1C, D, E, and F.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Discussion.
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Lucaro? Yes. Berry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Okay, you all have copies of the director's report.
Does 1B include that one?
No, 1B didn't pass.
His change?
Didn't pass, but didn't we still have to vote on.
Still have to vote on the vote.
Okay. 1B.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Sorry. Individually, is 1B.
1B, I'll make the motion.
Second.
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
No.
Lucaro, yes. Berry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Sorry. Good pitch. Any old business?
I just want to mention, Trustee Olson, I have not received any paperwork about the ILA conference. I didn't know if you had registered or if you were able to go. I just wanted to remind you in case you had forgotten. And okay, and that is all that I have.
New business. I would like to just make one comment. Chris and Zach and Julie, she blew them. Doors off that puzzle. No, I mean, $800 she brought in for the friends for the sale, the puzzle sale. That's incredible. That's really great job on her part.
Hey, I had one new business. The foundation is doing their fundraiser event with Tyler Pete's tomorrow.
Thanks for the reminder.
Any other? Any town hall? Hearing none. We're going into executive session as permitted by 5 ILCSA section 2C1, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of a public body or legal counsel for the public body. So moved.
I'll second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Boyer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Carl? Yes. Eric?